The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Radio 96.9 FM. It is Monday, the 6th of September, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Now, I can be honest, I sounded a little unsteady just now because I'm looking at my notes and I realize it's only 10 days. 10 days until 2021. That is general election 2021. And I think all right-thinking people are a little unsteady right now because this is a bit of a shockwave. And we're still dealing with the repercussions of the announcement, let alone the activities that have taken place since the announcement to now. But it is Monday, the 6th of September, 2021. And like Rasta say, and I had to tell Rasta in the road this weekend, forward ever, backward never. Road traffic, you and Rasta need to work together to include that in your road safety campaign. You're on the clock with Erin Green, where we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue, and I have a message for you about public procurement. Did you know that the Public Procurement Act took effect September 1st, 2021, and suppliers and vendors interested in doing business with the government will have to register on the electronic procurement platform in order to bid on jobs? Register your business today at suppliers.gov.bs. If you need help registering your business on the e-procurement portal, contact the help desk at 604-1049 or 604-1056. This message is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. It's open show. I have no guests. And of course, we're talking politics and governance. Hopefully we talk a little bit more governance than politics. I have a quick text. Do you know if you have to be registered for advanced poll citizens? Yeah, I think senior citizens, I think you have to register. You have to register. You're not automatically in the advanced poll just because you are a senior citizen. And I want you to understand that even if the government had the inclination to do such because they don't have the systems necessary, right, for real-time capture of data and sharing of data across multiple agencies. So, you know, when you hit 65, there should be a mechanism in the registrar's department that says, hey, this person is now on the senior citizen list. And that's the databases, right, across the agencies in a digital or electronic system, but we are not there yet. But thank you for that text. Now, if I am incorrect and somebody has the correct answer, please. So as we begin the show, I want to send a shout out to Jason Elwood Hanna. So on Friday, I had a whole show about martial arts and boxing in the country. We talked about a movie, a locally produced, and the first locally produced martial arts movie called Knockin' the Conk Style, right, which features a style of martial arts developed in the Bahamas by Bahamians. I think it's called the Four Winds something something. Now, the Four Winds part is what I remember because we live in a hurricane zone. And surely, our martial arts prowess, our skill, our secret skill should be based around harnessing the, I mean, you know, that's, I'm going to put that on my list for questions for candidates, you know. I mean, I think it's there already. But see, that's what happens when you understand who you are, when you formed an identity, both collective and individual, that's authentic, right? It's an authentic representation of who you are and where you are and how you came to be. If we had a martial arts style, it'll have to do something with harnessing the wind, harnessing water, or harnessing the sun, right? Because that's who we are. Now, if only our politics and our other cultures, right, could reflect that in the same way. So all that talking we was doing, and I forgot to send a shout out or to even mention Jason Elwood Hanna, our own, another one of our own martial artists, very well-trained, but he ain't just a martial artist. He's what you call a stuntman. He's beat up people in the movies for the stars. So it ain't just that he could fight. It's not just that he could fight in a movie. It's that he could fight and mimic somebody else entirely while he's fighting. And so Jason Elwood Hanna was in Black Panther. That boy been to Wakanda. He was in Avengers Infinity War. And he was in Luke Cage. So, you know, I was sitting there thinking, we don't have a lot of martial artists on this list. But we do, and it's our job to go out and find them. It's definitely our job to go out and find them. So this morning's show is, well, I want to call it an open line. We're talking politics this morning. I have some questions I want to throw out there. I have questions. I have a question that somebody asked me, and I thought, you know what? This question should have been asked and answered a long time ago. And the person asked, should the media be allowed to vote in the advanced poll? Should they? What warrants them to vote in the advanced poll? I think they should. I think we need to be able to have the media, official reporters and journalists all over the country monitoring the election process. And before the politicians start getting their backs up and getting, why the media have to, what are they trying to say? It ain't just for you, politicians. Again, let me remind you, these elections are not yours. They're not for you. You're not at the center of this process. Citizens are at the center of this process. And so one of the reasons we would want the media to be able to move about as freely as possible, right, on election day is to observe what's happening and to observe whether anybody has been disenfranchised, anybody has been blocked or not able to vote because of some reason, and to document it so that it can be investigated properly and thoroughly, right? And so I'm asking, is there enough time to change the rules and allow the media to vote in the advance poll so people who are assigned to family islands can vote in advance, and people who want to work and people who are documenting the election can move freely without having to take out a block of time to vote themselves? I think it's a good idea. So now to my questions for the morning, and please, you throw your questions in there too. So my first set of questions, these. What is the most important question for the government to answer to or issue to respond to? I can see just in today's papers, BPL has reared its head. And I don't think that the FNM government in its entire tenure since 2017 has responded clearly, transparently, or openly to any of the issues that arose over the last 4.5 years or to issues that arose before 2017, right? I remember the board of BPL making a statement to the chamber that they really had no intention of engaging any questions put to the former board. And again, it makes me question, who do these people work for? What is an electricity company but to provide electricity to the citizens of this country? What's the point? You think you could operate as an electricity company in this country if you are not providing electricity to the citizens? Like, you think you could just sell electricity, but you not selling any to citizens because you don't have to, because that's your right. I just wonder how you all think about these things. But before I go on, like, we're still waiting for a definitive and clear answer as to the cause of the fire that destroyed the generator, I think, in 2018. We also want an answer as to how the file was leaked. Why did it have to be leaked? Did you have any intention of revealing the information in said investigation? And since the file was leaked, why you don't have a full conversation about it anyway? Since technically it's our things. Another question I put to the government and to the opposition and to all other parties and candidates: how do you intend to respond to the collapse of the judiciary? That's a big one. I don't even know. All I know is that poor people more and more are marginalized from justice because they can't afford it. Imagine that, because you can't afford it. But it gets worse. Like the healthcare system, it doesn't matter what you could afford if the system is overwhelmed, the courts don't open, staff don't show up. Even your money can't help you. At least it's not supposed to help you. So I forgot myself. For a moment, I forgot where I was. And so, along with my list of questions for candidates, as we are 10 days till, what is the most important question for the government to answer or issue to respond to before GE 2021? What is the most important question for the opposition to answer or issue to respond to? And what is the most important question for other parties and candidates? Now, I want to say, when you say, what is the most important question for the opposition to respond to, I don't know what Minnis and Bannister are up to, but when Bannister says, and this is from Nassau Guardian, today's paper, when Bannister says on page A10, in a statement, he accused the PLP of being a vicious, nasty, and desperate organization. This week, in their failing attempts to distract the Bahamian public from their record of incompetence in office, they launched a misleading and defamatory attack on me and on honest, decent, hardworking Bahamians. Pause right there. Listen, an attack on you is not necessarily an attack on honest, decent, hardworking Bahamians. I don't understand how you could lump those two together like that in that statement. I think it is unfair of you to obfuscate like that. Come on. But furthermore, what is it that the PLP have to answer to over the last 4 years? Their horrible record in opposition, surely, but you're not really calling them out on that. Is it what you call their horrible record between 2012 and 2017? Well, we wouldn't know because you refuse to show us. You refuse to talk about it. You refuse to present us any information we could use to determine for ourselves the record of the PLP. But you want to launch a strategy of judicial attacks. See, we can't use the term witch hunt because it's no longer acceptable. It's a slur towards indigenous spiritual practices. So we ain't gonna call it that. We're gonna call it what it is. See, we can't judge the PLP on their 2012-2017 record because you refuse to provide the information necessary to create an environment where we could have a sensible, sustainable conversation about it. That's why. I mean, I'm going to be honest. This is the most disappointing and disrespectful engagement by the FNM. Whilst this, I continue reading from Bannister, whilst I am tempted to respond and to disclose the tens of millions in corrupt contracts that were issued by the failed PLP administration and their shady and unscrupulous dealings, I am guided by the high ideals and principled approach that the Bahamian people expect from me. I will not dignify the PLP's deceitful attacks by responding to their scurrilous allegations, permitting them to distract me from the campaign. Well, first of all, Bannister, if you know about tens of millions in corrupt contracts, why won't you tell us? I mean, isn't that what this whole thing is about? How could you sit here and say this to us? I know what they did. I ain't gonna tell you. I just can tell you how disgusting they are. Is this a joke? Are right-thinking people still accepting this? A sensible engagement, political engagement in 2021? I would have expected somebody to tell Bannister to please sit down, put some ice on your forehead, and think about what you're saying before you say it. And remember, take a pause right there. I got a caller on the line. I'm going to get to these texts. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning. You still there, caller? I lost you. I'm sorry, caller. Let's get to these texts. Aaron, they carry on bad this weekend on the road. Can't speak for the Red supporters as I didn't cross their paths, but as far as what I could see from the Gold Party, they were absolutely lawless. Persons going against oncoming traffic to catch up to the motorcade, running the light and slowing down traffic, and lastly, just not following COVID safety protocols at this rate. Some may be on their backs come elections and not able to vote. That's something, eh? That's something. And the state had all of its resources available to them to protect the political class from this critique by making those resources available. If you're going to force this madness upon us, because there was no public notice of the motorcades with routes being published so people could avoid them. There weren't sufficient police officers appointed to the various motorcades to protect drivers. In fact, I had this little note I was going to start my show with, and now I have to read it, right? And it said, from politicians making wild and unsubstantiated campaign promises to civil servants refusing to do their jobs or explain why they can't be done, to unregulated retail markets, to members of what I'm going to call the struggling class, who have begun harassing, lying to, and terrorizing citizens on the road, begging them for money. Will the average citizen get protection from somewhere? Are there mechanisms and systems in place to protect the citizen? All of this energy y'all put into protecting politics and politicians? So I tell you, when a police officer pulled up in front of me on the roundabout to replace the private vehicle that decided that they were going to play police and block traffic for a motorcade, and I saw that the police officer had his cell phone in his bootleg, visible, which means did you use your cell phone while you're riding your motorbike, officer? And you're going to scowl at me like I'm in the wrong for being upset that my private vehicle was obstructed by another private vehicle for a political motorcade? Y'all play too much. Like Marvin Dames could find the person who thiefed the campaign signs in less than 12 hours. But after 3 years, the only thing the police could come back and tell me is BTC said the threat was not sufficient to warrant further investigation. And that ain't as serious as the young women who were raped and been waiting decades for the case to be dealt with. Or the families who know the police ain't even coming back to them to talk about the status of the investigation of their loved one's death. Okay, Kermit, let's go to the calls. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank God for life.
Blessings.
This election thing where we got to go do, we're putting our hands in the ink. I believe it's going to be a super spreader. But you ain't talking about that today.
Yeah, we're talking about it. Don't watch nothing. We're talking about everything.
Okay. Let me say something. I want to say something about what you say, why the minister just talking about it now, why they ain't exposed things. I want to say something to that. Mm-hmm. But before I forget, you ask a question, like what message we need to send to the government and to the opposition.
Yeah, well,
but I still thinking about with the government. I mean, because we've been talking for years, you know, and it seems like sometimes they don't listen to you. But with this opposition, with God willing, if or when they come into government, one of the things I hear the young officers, and I hear you say the officer will be fooling any boot. I laugh. But one of the things the young officers are like for the government to do, the new government, whosoever new government, because some of them is PLPs and FNM I talk to, they're saying when they send the commissioner home, because it's time almost a Paul rule, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he go home or he retire, right? Don't bring back those older senior officers who this government get rid of. They say because the reason why they vote against Perry Christie and the PLP is for the same reason, feeling discriminated, feeling abused by senior officers. And the FNM government, when they come in, they move some of these officers. Now, one or two might come back, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they asking for the government, when commissioner resign or whatever, don't bring back those all officers, especially, and I think he's a good gentleman. I think they call him Demon or Lehman Delavo.
Mm-hmm.
He's working in foreign affairs now. They say leave these officers where they is to keep the morale of the police force. They
Absolutely.
Don't want to lower the morale. And I think listening to them, they say they support the FNM in the last government in the last election, but they go in with the PLP this time. I don't know. Time will tell.
All right.
Now, you say, why these guys, them don't let us know, and you talk about Desmond Barnes, you're talking about other things what happened in the past. They take us for fools. They think us behemoth people will be stupid. They just use these things to try. Some of these are good friends, family members. Mother and, how do you say it, godfather, godmother, to one another children. They think we stupid. See, Adrian Gibson, I seen with Adrian Gibson and them talking with Desmond Bannister, with his mother-in-law, or his assistant getting contracts and all that. We don't really mind about these things, you know. Because these people are behemoths and they have business license. They are qualified, but it's not what you do, it's how you do it. What we get mad of, Aaron, is how they be so strong. They turn He-Man, Mighty Moat, they get plenty muscles, strong, to help family, friends, and lovers, and they sweetheart.
And but they're powerless to the system. Look here, I gotta
us
go.
The citizens, us, the, not just the supporters, but the behemoth citizen who collectively together, you know, make up the Bahamas. They discriminate us. They think it's too much for us. PLPs and FNM, they do it.
Absolutely.
They go for their brother, their sister, their sweetheart.
Okay, I got to go, but thank you.
Good work, Aaron.
Absolutely, thank you. And some wonderful points you made right there. Some wonderful points, right? They big and bold, especially before the election, of what they could do and the things they do for those they love. But boy, when it comes to the problems of the people, we are powerless to the system. We don't know how these people are going to vote. There's nothing that we could do, even though we have the weight of the state's resources behind us. Not just that, we have a supermajority. Imagine you wait until your prime minister dissolved the House to say that you can't do nothing to ensure that disenfranchised people could vote. Let me show you something. You ever send a boy who live near you down the road, you ever send him down the road with $20 to go buy $17 worth of things, and when he come back, you owe him $4? That's what you all sound like. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there? You're on the
Good
clock.
Good morning, Aaron Green.
Good morning. How you do?
Fine. I have a quick PSA.
Yes, sir.
Know, some people have the blood pressure monitor, and you can check your pressure hall.
Uh-huh.
Do you know there's a device to check your lungs as well? Pulse oximeter.
Right.
I ordered one from Walmart.
Okay.
$100. You can check your pulse and your oxygen in your blood.
How much it costs?
$12.
$12.
It's a pulse oximeter meter.
All right. Man, thank you for that. Look here. Thank you for that very much. Let's go to the next caller. Caller, you on the clock?
Yes, sir. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Blessings.
Yes, sir. So, I'm concerned about human rights, man. That's what I'm concerned.
You're concerned about
human rights?
Human rights, yeah.
The deprivation of food and shelter.
Oh, yeah.
You see, the F&M government, they got a plan to repair the public housing and sell them. Depriving the poor of shelter.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And lack of livable is deprivation for both those instances, the right to food and shelter.
Absolutely.
You see? And these civil rights, like the right to vote and vaccine mandate, exchange and change with as soon as their election is gone, the politicians can determine what your civil rights are. Nothing.
Absolutely.
But then with this corruption thing, come on, man. It's incumbent upon the media to have an archive of all the corrupt dealings of parties, of all parties from, you know what I'm saying, and from China.
Thank you. It's a bit shaky, but that's a great point that you make. The media is an element in and of itself, but certainly private sector individuals can come together and create a mechanism or an institution to do that, to focus on corruption by documenting, right, the stories. That's a wonderful point. And, you know, what you said, the housing crisis, and I'm going to say this, at the very first COVID state of emergency press conference, Jasper Ward asked the very first question, and that question was, what arrangements had been made for the unhoused, or what we call homeless people, in the implementation of a shelter-in-place order? What will become of people who don't have a shelter to stay in a shelter-in-place order? And the people on the stage laughed. They giggled. They kikied. They ha-ha'd like little children. And I want to say that this is an audition, people. See, we were in a housing crisis before Dorian and before the pandemic. And that means all of us are vulnerable to the very same condition that those politicians laughed at on that stage. And so one of my questions to everybody, but in particular the FNM and the PLP, is what of this housing crisis? What have you done? Because you could do things in the opposition, PLP. What have you done and what are you going to do to deal with this housing crisis? Because it is certainly a blow to morale when you see that your government spends more energy ensuring that foreigners can come and choose the best property to live on, the best property to build businesses on, while they stand on a stage and kiki and laugh at you. Another text. Morning, Aaron. Did you see what is circulating on social media regarding the PLP candidate? No, I didn't. Oh, it showed. Ah, yeah. Well, that is a big issue. Some, I would say personal, because it's not personal information, but some information about a candidate was revealed on public media, and it raises the question of who captured the information and who shared it. But we have a cyber crimes unit. See, this is it. We have a cyber crimes unit that could find that out immediately, post haste. They could find that out quicker than they found out who thief the posters in Mount Moriah. Morning, do you think that all that needs to be done is being done to ensure a safe voting process? No, I don't. I'm a disabled person with chronic illness, but very skeptical about being in a crowded situation. Persons aren't social distancing or wearing masks as a rule, so we are safe. I'm not convinced, so will I vote? Well, I'm going to be honest with you. The special categories that you were in, I'd be very careful. I wouldn't go out. I would find a lawyer and determine when is too early to sue. I'm just saying, because this is no joking matter, and this isn't about oppositional politics, right? This is not something that the FNM could blame on the PLP, like the PLP just, the people asking these questions are just PLPs causing mischief. Because the PLPs haven't objected. They haven't asked for a pause. They haven't asked the FNM to commit to a date, commit to a date in the future, giving us 3 to 4 months to see if the numbers are going to drop. See, the PLP could have done that. They could have come to the table. They have enough power. The other parties don't. The independents don't. But the PLP could have come to the table and said, hey, we are asking the FNM to commit to putting the election on hold for 3 months. We set a date, right? Whether it's January 7th or November, we can't do it November 4th. That's when the mother people is voting or something like that. But we could do it. Commit to a date and give us time, because it is the citizen that loses, not the politicians. Again, we keep feeding into their narrative. Their narrative only suits their agenda. Another text, Ms. Green. Oh, here we go. Do you think it was in good taste for the PM to say Mr. Davis is a disgrace, then gone into the 80s? Boy, you should watch what he says, because people in his cabinet, he should go back to the 80s. You know some people is still alive. Ms. Green, the PM still going back to the 80s. Boy, they doing that. But the PLP go back to the UBP days in the 60s. They have a problem. Yeah, man, I think this form of, I don't even know, the campaign strategy is weak, to say the least. Kermit, let's take this caller, and then maybe we go to a break. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hi, Ms. Green. How you doing?
I am good, thank you. How are
Wonderful.
You?
Wonderful. You forget the only assistant the FNM gave the homeless in this pandemic is to put them before the court.
Well, just look here, this is what
the
I say.
Homeless was put before the court.
This is what I say. Now, there's some shelters.
They to pay a fine.
Yeah.
Now, we expect those persons to fine to pay that.
I'm not sure. I think they thought it through.
Reflection is Bud Ingram coming out to support Dr. Sam.
Boy, look here. I was actually shocked by that.
And then Dr. Sands made reference to Mr. Ingram was the minister who developed Elizabeth Estate.
Uh-huh.
But Mr. Ingram, as a minister underneath the Progressive Liberal Party, was only carrying out the mandate and the vision of the leader.
Now, pause there. See?
Pardon me?
Hold on. Pause right there. Mm-hmm. See, that's a part of the political narrative. Would you hear what you say? That Ingram was only carrying out the mandate of the leader.
Yes.
Now, remember this. When Minnis dissolved the House, he said he waiting for the people to give him a new mandate. So two things. Mm-hmm. It's never the mandate of the leader. It's surely the mandate either of the people or the party.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The leader presents his vision. His ministers carry out his vision to the different ministry.
You think that's how the politics in this country work?
They have to carry out the vision of the leader has his own mandate and vision.
That's how you think
it
works?
The ministers carry the policy.
No.
Yes,
The people bring the mandate. The people bring the mandate, and the leader is supposed to. Hold on.
Paul Adley said it. He said what happened in the cabinet. The leader will put out something around the cabinet table.
So you suffice with that? You happy with that, man?
I'm only saying.
No, we having
not
fun.
Suffice,
we having
just
fun.
What Paul Adley said what goes around the cabinet table.
But listen, here's what I'm saying. Hold on.
The leader puts out what he wants and his own vision around the cabinet. They discuss it. each cabinet minister discusses it. And if the majority of the cabinet minister, there'd be some who differ. But if the majority agree with it, that's where they go to or they make legislation to.
Pause right there.
They come to the people.
Pause right there. You look at the last 4 years. You think that's how it's operated?
I'm not interested in another 4 years.
No, I'm saying the 4 years have just passed.
One cabinet minister, Paul Adley, said on Wendell Jones' show, he discussed what happened in the cabinet. Okay? There are some ministers who may differ, but at the end of the day, when the majority around the cabinet agreed with it, they go with it.
You think they care about whether the majority agrees or not? See, this is what I'm trying to get a sense of.
I understand your comeback, but what I'm saying to you, I'm just saying whether they care or not, that's how it goes around.
No, that's
the
how
cabinet.
That's no. I'm just saying,
we may differ.
No,
but
no.
I'm saying to you. No, I'm saying other souls here may differ how it goes, but that is what Paul Adley said. At the end of the day, that's why. When they say cabinet ministers or whatever, according to the system, when you come out there, you're supposed to come with one voice or whatever.
Now, juxtapose what Paul Adley said to the Alstom affair. Juxtapose that to Alstom, right? Mm-hmm. And I just saying, I don't see if it's the prime minister's mandate that he brings to the table, I don't think he cares about whether they agree with him or not, you know.
No, it doesn't go like that. You see, it doesn't go like that. The point is, there's a cabinet meeting. He put his mandate out, just like Belinda. Let me use Belinda Wilson.
No, don't use Belinda Wilson.
No, example. Belinda Wilson was Secretary General underneath Mrs. Turnquist,
yeah.
Right? When Belinda Wilson wanted to run against her, she put out all her ideas and so forth, what she would like accomplish for the teachers.
Quick.
Her ideas differ from Mrs. Turnquist.
Okay, yeah.
But what I'm saying to you, she had her own mandate, Belinda Wilson. Every leader, every board, president, even before his former president.
Okay, I got you.
Everyone has those
yeah, they have
their own mandate.
They
every
have a
leader.
They have a mandate, but here's here's what I'm asking you. Is that prime minister supposed to bring his personal mandate to that cabinet table?
If he has a board, he picks his ministers. He discusses.
What
right?
about the people?
So what I'm saying to you, of course, every leader has his own mandate. You have to come as a leader with your vision.
Well, what about the people's vision?
All right.
What about the people's vision?
The leader perhaps discuss the vision of the people. Or he go around and he discusses with different committees or whatever.
So you ain't worried.
Formulated at the end of the day.
Okay, I have to go. I gotta go, and I don't want you to. I don't want you to think that I'm making fun
Very
of you.
Very good discussion.
Yeah, man. Thank you. This caller, dead quick caller. I got 30 seconds for you. Then I gotta go to a break. You're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Hey, morning, Aaron.
Morning. How you do?
Yeah, Aaron. Don't let the woman confuse you, man. You know that's exactly how it goes. These people, if the prime minister goes against, decide that Eno Road can get built, despite the Minister of Works brought to the cabinet that look, we have to fix these road X, Y, Z.
Mm-hmm.
And if the prime minister of the cabinet decided that there's going to be no road building because we have to build a school, right?
Yeah.
Because the education minister said we need a school, there will be no road building. That's how I see this country and the cabinet was going from time immemorial.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one chief inside the cabinet, and that's the prime minister. And if he decides that it's going to be nothing, right? Don't care. Ingram did was the brainchild behind Elizabeth, because he said that when he was housing, right?
Mm-hmm.
He decided that or determined at that time that they need to invest in it. So he had to take it to the cabinet. He brought it to cabinet, and it was approved. That's what cabinet does. It approves
yeah.
what
yeah.
ministers bring
to the
best interest off the Bahamas.
Listen, I got to go. I got to go to a break. Thank you so much. And I'm not confused, you know. I just stunned. The things you see on this plantation, it stun you, man. It stuns you. Anyway, you're tuned into Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're going to be right back after this break, so don't go anywhere. You got to hear these texts. They're awesome. We'll be right back.
Here we go. Jay. Johnson Insurance Agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the Solution. Sponsor On the Clock of Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The one that don't fall to, the count depends on you. So tell Ted to go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green, and we are 10 days away from GE 2021. And I'm looking at the cover of the Tribune at this headline that says, Culmer says PLP goons threatening electorate. And since we're talking about gang-like culture, political culture, which is similarly or eerily similar to gang culture, this headline says, Culmer says PLP goons threatening electorate. And he's talking about an incident that appears as if people in one of the family islands, Cat Island, residents of Cat Island, Rumkey and San Sal, say they are being threatened with impending victimization if they support the FNM's candidate. I'm going to say to Carl Culmer, now would be a good time for the FNM to make a clear and transparent, honest, accountable, and definitive statement about mudslinging and ethics in campaigning. And the first question you should answer in this statement is, have you fired Omar Archer? And why did you hire him in the first place? And why did you allow him to continue working for you after he revealed the residence and directions to said residence of a senior member of staff in the area he was working in? I don't understand how y'all want to get up and talk about goons, but you don't want to address the elephants in the room. See, I don't care about which politician may or may not be a homosexual or a pedophile. I care about the people who know about illegal acts of sexual predation and do nothing about it, but use that information for their own political gain. Do you think you are any better than the rapist or the pedophile when you do that? You care not about the victims of those crimes or alleged crimes or those crimes when they actually happen, because we see you don't pay any attention to them. Since we want to talk about goons, when will the political parties themselves commit to a shared public standard in politics? Because you probably cannot denounce behavior that you intend on continuing. You could imagine that. After all the things we heard that man say leading up to the 2017 election, And then all of a sudden, he ends up with not just a job, you know, not just a regular job. The boy became a registrar. A registrar. But y'all want me to walk around in my own country like I know and I don't belong here just because I'm gay. Let's get to these texts. Aaron, in hopes that the government, oh, here we go. Aaron, in hopes that the government heard and decides to be proactive ahead of elections in order to reduce the potential for this being a super spreader event, please provide PPEs for those working the polls and ensure that persons are there to monitor the lines and ensure social distancing. And also that other safety protocols are being done at the entry gate of the polling divisions before they join the line, and lastly, again, before dipping in the ink. Another text, politics is not for the people, it's for the politicians. Another text, I believe government covenant is continuous even in the Bahamas, so it doesn't matter which former prime minister started Elizabeth Estates. PLP all the way. Another text, do you think Mr. Ingram will support Dr. Minnis in the upcoming election? You should read The Guardian and The Tribune. I think the answer is right there. The political parties, good morning, Aaron. The government is in charge of the public purse, not the opposition. The opposition can only do so much with limited resources. And you know what? You had the audacity to text that in all caps. And so I shall have the audacity to respond to that text in all caps. You are telling me that the mighty PLP, the UBP slayers, cannot find the money to run a small temporary housing program or a temporary employment program? You telling me they found $85 million for signs and placards, but they couldn't find the money to run a small, sustainable pilot program while in opposition? It's time to throw the whole party away then. But we're going to put them in a brown paper bag because plastic bags are unsustainable and destroy the environment. It's a mandate of the party. The lady is right. That is why they make these election promises. It's the party's mandate, not the public. You need to get your information straight. Excuse me, you tell Minnis that. You tell Minnis, who told us in dissolving the House, he dissolved it because the people need to give him a new mandate. But secondly, what type of plantation you trying to live on? Because I am not trying to live on that plantation. I see you, caller, you're on the clock. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. I think it's a little muddled, but it is the people, the leaders, that's the reason why they're pumping so hard right now to be elected. They are supposed to go in. That's what canvassing is all about. Meetings is all about with the voters,
mm-hmm.
with the people in these constituencies. You find out what each constituency needs, what the people, what they want,
mm-hmm.
and you frame that, and then you articulate that, like in a manifesto or a plan, and then you bring it to the people. When you're elected into parliament and cabinet, the prime minister, they sit down, and they're the ones who actually physically, they carry it out. You understand that? Now, sometimes when they get there, I think they have to prioritize what they're going to go with first, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it should be the main needs of the people. So I think everyone is right, but it's just the way, you know, you understand, it boils right down to the people's mandate. Because if it were just, I'm going in there as the leader in my cabinet, making all the decisions, what is the sense or the need to have an election?
Right.
What is the need to even, like, they can just decide to pull straws,
yeah.
and decide who
amongst is, themselves who will do
themselves.
It.
And one last thing before I go,
yes, ma'am.
In reference to the Goons, the remark, I find that Mr. Comer and the governing party, they love to use these negative descriptions when they describe the PLP.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Over years, they always like to use scandals, goons. But I know one thing for sure, and I can be corrected if I am wrong, but I know during election campaign, the PLP never had anyone, any of its supporters that went before the court accused and convicted of murder of one of their own. You have a nice day. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. We're going to leave that right there. Caller, you got 30 seconds. Good morning, caller. You still there? I am sorry we did not get to you. Let me try and knock out the rest of these texts. I want to know if Royal Caribbean, Big Oil, Illegal Gaming, any cruise line, or any other donors donated to the FNM or PLP campaigns and what they asked for in return. You know, we don't need campaign finance legislation for political parties to publicly declare where their funding originates. They could just do it because they think it's the right thing to do and that they know that it will build a better, safer country for its citizens. They could just do it. Another text, we accept you. It doesn't matter if you're gay. We are not going to judge you. You are correct. The PLP should have done it. Some of them are millionaires. And what I'm saying is that why would we create this environment where we marginalize ordinary citizens in their own country? It's like, and tell them that you can't exist here, but we allow any other manner of foolishness to exist here. People believing that it's the politician's mandate. You do what the people have asked you to do. Okay, I'm going to knock out these just last quickly. Thank you, Aaron, for highlighting this, that justice in the Bahamas is beyond the reach of the vast majority of Bahamians. It costs far too much and matters take decades to resolve. Plantation logic. Good morning, Aaron. I heard our prime minister said in his speech to a rally saying Exuma gone red. Aaron, we here in the Exuma Keys have not met the FNN candidate yet. Where in the world he got his lying information from? Chester Cooper all the way. Great show as usual. The government ink pad and pencil, I won't be getting COVID by using it because I'm bringing my own ink pad and pencil. Let's talk about it, Registrar Department. For both parties to answer what have happened to Rubus. Somebody needs an answer to Marathon and Rubus. And the protection for the workers. Another text, the reason why a lot of people will not come out and say that they are gay like you did is because it embarrassed their families. Do you agree? Boy, look here, we get embarrassed at a lot of things in this town, but apparently not at the right things. I just want to encourage you, don't be embarrassed because you have a gay family member. Be embarrassed because you keep voting for these politicians that keep walking up into your face and telling you all manner of foolishness. And then you try to convince your children that that's the right thing to do too. This your country, this your politics, this your government. The only thing stopping you from being in charge is whether you're willing to do the hard work to govern yourself. Thank you, producer. Thank you, Guardian.
96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.